Good evening. Welcome to the Salieri Report. Today is Thursday, June 21st, 2018. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Hold that date, September 22nd, in Asheville, lunch with Dr. Mark Skidmore at the Baltimore State. You can sign up, just click on lunch with Catherine on the website. We're hoping John Rappaport can join us. Anybody up for lunch or dinner in Europe? I'm going to be in Vienna for the first week of July. I'll probably be in the Paris area mid-July, and then I'll be in Friesland in the Netherlands between July 20th and 30th and the last week of August. So if anybody's got any interest, and possibly first week of September in Scotland. So if you're in Europe and any of those places look good to you, just let us know at Ask Catherine or Customer Service at Salieri.com. And then, of course, October, I'm going to be back in Europe in Italy for the Scientists for Peace conference. You can learn more about that at the events at Salieri.com. Our theme tonight is the theme of the second quarter wrap-up, the rise of the Asian consumer. After four very heavy wrap-ups, Control 101, enforce the Constitution, is the deep state into your pension fund. These are all very, very heavy, very dense, extremely hard to sort of research or write or communicate. Anyway, I wanted to do something that was extremely important to the economy and investment, as always, but much lighter. And so I thought the rise of the Asian consumer, really the rise of the Asian middle class, is what it's about. Very, very important as an investment trend, but I thought, okay, this is going to be lighter. Ha! This clearly has a very dark side to it. It's profoundly important. We will post the theme, the rise of the Asian consumer, in the last week of July, as we normally do. It's normally the last week of the month as it rolls out. I wanted to do news trends and stories early because of the AI invasion, and so I did the unexpected and am running it before the end of the quarter. So that's going to make the wrap up a little bit more spread out than usual. So again, we'll publish the big theme at the end of July, but news trends and stories is going early. This trend, the rise of the Asian consumer, is much bigger than I ever expected, which is surprising because there's a lot of good articles. There's a good study from Brookings about this. So this is no secret. Happening, but in fact, it's having a very dramatic impact on our day-to-day lives, and it's surprising how little it's really said or discussed in the media. The media is filled up with other sort of divide-and-conquer issues, and this is surprisingly buried, and it's important because at the same time you have the Asian middle class exploding, you have the G7 middle class really being squeezed. So the people who want their retirements are being squeezed out, whereas the people who are starting to save for retirement are being ballooned. You can see the economic logic to squeezing the one and ballooning the other. So the rise of the Asian consumer, I really look forward to presenting that to you because I think you're going to find some very juicy, useful information. Money and markets. When you view the global charts, again, we put the charts up in the money and markets commentary, which is now up on the right-hand side of the website at the top. If you look at the global charts that we post weekly, you really can see the giant sucking sound of capital flowing back into the U.S. and the definite possibility is the dollar rises of a bear trap in the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar index is now up 2.81%. The 92 line held, and we're now trading at about 94.4 when I looked earlier today. Fixed income, new piece from Bloomberg. Now you can gorge guilt-free one-month bill yields 1.84% on a par with S&P. So a one-month treasury bill is now yielding almost, it's 5 basis points away from the S&P dividend yield. That's quite remarkable. And we started to see reports this week that pension funds are moving back into bonds and fixed income. TLT, the long treasury ETF, is improving. It's now down 3.95% for the year, so it's starting to recover. I think investors are starting to see the yields attract them back in. IEF, the intermediates, down 2.45% for the year. It was down less and improving less. And then the bond aggregate down 2.09%. And then junk is still holding in there, almost flat, down 16 basis points. Equities are now up, the S&P 3.64% for the year. Home builders down 9%. The European ETF VGK down 3%. Germany down 5.9%. Germany's had a bad couple weeks. The developed markets minus North America down 2.67%. Wow. Did the Chinese equity markets get slammed on the tariff war? The large caps now down for the year, down 4.616%. Remember, they were up 36% last year, so they've far from given up a lot of their gains. And then the small caps still up for the year, 3.31%, but clearly getting slammed. And then the emerging markets again slammed, down 7.14%, with China coming off. Commodities drop back, and so the commodity index is now almost flat for the year, up 28 basis points. And the gold, whew, God, that chart looks ugly, down 2.91%, and silver down 3.94%. Oil still doing well, up 16%. Right now, Congress is in the middle of working through the final proposed appropriations. They'll vote out the appropriations this summer. Then everybody meets at the Bohemian Grove, battles out the, or sort of chews out the different policy issues, makes their decisions, come back, and then the appropriation is finalized in September. That's how the process always works, the Grove coming together in mid to late July. And so there are big decisions being made. It's hard for me to pick out what the real controversies are, but some big controversies in the farm bill and how they're moving food around and money for food stamps. Big decisions in defense, in the defense authorization, including a push for the national ID card. There's lots of controversial issues. Of course, Congress is also dealing with the immigration bill at the same time. The reality is the debt and money is getting squeezed on the government side, not just in the U.S., but around the world. We see the announcement that Russia has sold half of its U.S. Treasury bonds. Not surprising, given the sanctions. They don't trust the Americans for good reason. They bought 600,000 ounces of gold in May after the sales, but that's a process that they've been steadily accumulating more gold since 2005, so it continues the same process. But essentially, it is interesting. They cut their treasury bond position from $96 billion to $47 billion. They're not the only one who cut. China has liquidated about $7 billion, which is small in, given their position. Japan sold off about $12 billion. The reality is the bear trap is happening. People need more money to pay their interest, and it's harder to get dollars, especially if you're having a trade war. Ireland sold $17 billion. And so the reality is the tariff wars and the sanctions are biting, that's not good news for anybody. There's no doubt that the process of de-dollarization is accelerating. Russian companies paid 15% of for 15% of Chinese imports in the renminbi, and that compares with 3 years ago and 2 years ago. It was 2% and 9%. So you can see we're moving away. Or certainly as from a currency matter, there's a gradual shift away from the dollar. Now, you know, can the dollar fight back? Maybe. There seemed to be a competition over the last week or two for whiteout. Whiteout is stories that white out the real story. And I suspect there's a lot of potential for real stories, either in the financing of the U.S. government or in what's going on over in Congress. That really a lot of politicians wanted to white out. One of the big whiteouts was on Monday. Trump announced the creation of a space force There's no way the president can create a sixth branch of the military without Congress and DOD. First of all, DOD is not on board. And second of all, Congress needs to approve it. And there's no indication that they will. Mattis and the top DOD leadership seem to be opposed to it because everybody would stop getting work done and start reorganizing. And it's always a dreadful thing to go through. The question is, why did Trump do it? What was he trying to white out? What was he trying to win in terms of attention? It's hard to say. It's very interesting. The Russian diplomats and politicians started announcing repercussions if Trump orders Space Force, citing a treaty banning nuclear weapons. Then a U.S. general came out and said Russia and China are building space weapons. And I suspect not only are we all building space weapons, but I think we've had them for more than a short time. All of this clearly puts a lot of pressure on Mattis, who's clearly got a lot of pressure on him. Anyway, he seemed to contradict the president earlier this week on issues related to Russia and Putin. And you kind of wonder what's going on, because in the backdrop, the SEC is doing a investigation of Theranos and just brought criminal charges against Elizabeth Holmes, the CEO. Mattis was on the board of Theranos, I'm assuming. Schultz put him there because Mattis was out at the Hoover Institute. The SEC is run by Jay Clayton, a Sullivan and Cromwell partner, and you sort of wonder who's squeezing Mattis for what. Big question mark, no way to tell. Sullivan and Cromwell is a major firm we've talked about before in connection with the black budget. They're AT&T's lead co-counsel with Arnold and Porter. And they, you know, the history is that the Dulles brothers worked out of Sullivan and Cromwell and basically created the CIA out of Sullivan and Cromwell. They're also Goldman Sachs' lead counsel. And so a very interesting position, because Clayton is basically deciding, my guess, even though it's run out of the San Francisco office, basically deciding, you know, what happens with the board in connection with that criminal investigation. You've got Schultz, you've got Kissinger, you've got Mattis, and Riley Bechtel. It's sort of a all-star Bohemian Grove board. So anyway, I'm assuming that if you look at all the things Mattis is dealing with, it's a pretty big plate. Immigration woes, the other kind of whiteout was immigration woes in Europe, which are very real, almost certainly had it looking like Merkel would not last the month. For now, it looks like she's yet again pulled another amazing save. Real disagreement between her Minister of the Interior and her government on immigration policy. And that is a weak coalition, as we know. But the big whiteout was over the family separation issue in the U.S. And it was clearly run with massive amounts of entrainment and designed to play on the Democrat, sort of on a partisan bickering, but also heartstrings. And not to say that those aren't important questions and important humanitarian questions, but if you look at the extent to which, I don't know, to me it's much more humanitarian to get the $21 trillion back, especially when people are homeless and kids are starving. And I know some of you hate to hear me say to pull out the kids are starving, but it's very real. So so to me, that was total whiteout. And the question is, what is it being whited out? Is it some of the real money cutting coming through Congress? Is it a national ID? I'm kind of afraid to think of what is slipping through. Although, if you look at what's happening with net neutrality and what AT&T and Comcast and the other telcos are up to, that's frightening enough. The story I talk a lot about in and our number one story in the News Trends and Story tonight is the AI invasion. And the world is really going from slow burn to AI invasion. The rape of Russia is not coming in terms of compromising and taking over banks or companies. They're coming for every nickel, dime, quarter, and dollar. This is going to be an invasion bottom up with software and artificial intelligence. And it's very important to me that you listen to my discussion with Joseph and think about this. It proves my contention. If you look at the wave coming and net neutrality, and some of these other changes at the telecom, in the telecom business, are key to engineering this. It proves my contention that this QAnon and draining the swamp is all hope porn. All they're doing is consolidating their winnings after the financial coup and moving to the next phase. And the AI invasion is really targeting 325 million Americans. Make no mistake about it. I did a interview with Greg Hunter, and one of the things I said was, please don't be a patsy. Every time Mr. Global steals a lot of money, what he does is he takes a couple puppets, throws them to the lions in the Colosseum. The lions eat them, and then everybody's happy because the system works. They killed some puppets. And, of course, Mr. Global gets away with the money. And, of course, crime that pays is crime that stays. So this keeps working and working and working. And what I said is, you know, who cares who goes to jail? If you don't get the $21 trillion back, you know, for God's sakes, get the $21 trillion. And then if you're going to throw anybody in jail, throw the leaders in the jail, not the puppets. And I've gotten huge pushback because everybody's so jazzed and mind controlled to go kill the puppets. Well, the reality is I'm not jazzed to go kill the puppets. You know, for once in my lifetime, I would like to see us not get rolled or be the patsy. I had one guy say to me, you're wrong about this. You know, it's hopeless to get the money back. You know, we really need to put some people in jail. And I thought, God, you know, is that how much you've given up? Have you just given up on the possibility of things really working? Well, frankly, I'm not satisfied by puppets. So, you know, if that's all we want is to kill a few puppets, that's not a plan. It's certainly not a solution. You can't fund the pension funds and Social Security with puppet blood. It's just not going to work. Harvesting people's data, and we're seeing huge data collection efforts happening everywhere and getting all the data into the cloud for various purposes. I keep saying that the entire society is becoming one large white-collar speed trap. But the vacuum cleaning of data would not be happening if we were really draining the swamp. It's the exact opposite. So it's proof positive that the QAnon stuff is hope porn. I don't buy it. I'm waiting to see. I think Amazon will have a major hand in all the re-engineerings, including because that you have 17 intelligence agencies and DOD in their cloud. Amazon's still deciding on their headquarters. It may take a while, but three of the locations of the 20 they're considering are the Washington, D.C. area. And boy, that'll tell us a lot if they end up in the Washington, D.C. area. The U.S. Supreme Court has just decided in the case of South Dakota versus online retailers, they are going to let the states force online retailers from out of state to collect sales tax. Big ruling just out. It could mean up to $13 billion annually for the states. If you look at the sort of discrepancies between the treatment of bricks and mortar versus online, you know, this is a way of rebalancing the relationship. It was bound to happen. But there is some caps on it. Well, it depends on the state, but certainly in South Dakota, there's some caps where they're looking to get the big guys, not the little guys. But this is certainly going to impact small business. Anyway, make sure if you're operating online that you take a look at what this means to you. It's going to be important. And it's important that your compliance is impeccable. More problems, again, squeezing on that AI invasion. The EU is working on more data laws that are particularly scary, and I'm hoping to cover them more when I get to Europe. So please listen to story number one, the AI invasion, in tonight's part one of News Trends and Story. We are turning the economy into a white-collar speed trap, and it's going to be something I'm going to be talking a lot about. I'm going to talk a lot more about it. We're all going to need to navigate it. And it's extremely important to me that you have all the tricks that I can think of to jump the curve on this situation. Trade war. I put up a trade scorecard that included all the tariffs, and then Trump came out with another $200 billion on China, which sent the really slammed the Chinese stock market. The Chinese media is now calling the U.S. delusional. Shanghai, Beijing, U.S. protectionism is self-defeating and a symptom of paranoid delusions that must not distract China from its path to modernization, China state media said on Friday. China has stepped up its war of words, hit $200 billion Chinese imports with 10% tariffs if China retaliates. Let's see. The Chinese Commerce Ministry accused the United States on Thursday of being capricious. The English language paper cited research by one group saying that Chinese investment in the United States declined 92% to $1.8 billion in the first 5 months of the year, its lowest level in 7 years. Yeah, but money's pouring in, and I suspect that's not only repatriation of corporate cash, but all sorts of money looking for safe havens, et cetera. One of the things Joseph and I talk about in part two is the struggle that China is going to have in providing financial liquidity that people trust. Although if the Anglo-American alliance gets, you know, keeps being as lawless as it is, you know, maybe China can get in the game. Who knows? Interestingly enough, the German automakers, God love them, not only did they make great cars, but they're smart as all get out. They came out as a group against EU-US tariffs on autos. So basically saying, let's shred tariffs on autos between the EU and US, which frankly I think is a great idea. We have total model confusion. One article this week that millennials prefer socialism to capitalism. Well, of course, we know there is no such thing as capitalism. We haven't tried it yet. What we've got. I keep reading articles that say, let's use the market. What market? You got a bunch of oligarchic telecommunications companies, a bunch of oligarchic big New York banks. All of them have rigged deals through the government and rigged low cost of capital through the government. Immunity to prosecution. They act above the law. I mean, we're basically talking about feudalism, you know, violent feudalism and warlords. And why anybody would see that as a marketplace, I have no idea, or thinking that we should let all those characters run around and do whatever they want on the theory that that's market economics. All I can say is the millennials prefer socialism to organized crime. Can you blame them? Sounds pretty intelligent to me. I prefer socialism to warlordism. Anyway, I feel about capitalism the way Gandhi felt about Western civilization, that it was a good idea and we ought to try it. So this week I saw just an amazing number of bad ideas, and I want to talk you through it and help you understand what the good ideas are. First of all, we have the British and the Americans teamed up in what is a slow assassination of Assange, Julian Assange, who's isolated in the Ecuadorian embassy and people are not allowed to visit and he can't communicate by the internet. This is all a really bad idea. It's really kind of scorpion torched earth treatment, and it's going to hurt the brand of the City of London. It's going to hurt the brand of the U.S. We need to go back and remember that financial liquidity, you know, is not something one associates with police states or Stalinist kind of treatment. And I think if Assange basically is assassinated in this kind of isolation process, the impact on the brand of America and the UK is going to be absolutely, I don't think they understand how dangerous this is for them. Terrible. Anyway, so it seems to me a little imagination could find a pathway out of this. Let's all get out of the face loss and find a way out. The disinformation stalkers are really out in full force. And it's important. I had a squabble with a couple of subscribers who tried to get me involved in the drama. One way disinformation people get attention and get sort of market share is to create drama. So they're into entertainment. They're into soap operas. So we had one website put up an article saying I'd never been Assistant Secretary of Housing. So I had a little fun with it because I went to Twitter and posted, I posted a picture of me being sworn in by Jack Kemp, who was the secretary, with Georgie holding, my dear friend Georgie, holding the Bible. And then an article from Business Week talking about my stint as Assistant Secretary of Housing, and a link to the Federal Register that had a proposed rule on mortgage finance with, you know, from me as Assistant Secretary of Housing. And then the letter from the president thanking me for my service as Assistant Secretary of Housing. And then what else did I put up? I put up a couple pictures of me raising huge and hideous amounts of money for George Bush, for which I apologize to you. But anyway, it's all there. Lots of pictures. I had a little fun doing it. It would have seemed stupid to do it without some kind of inspiration anyway. But as you can see, it's heavily documented that I was indeed the Assistant Secretary of Housing. That was number one. Number two, what I tried to make clear to the people who are paying a lot of attention to this, the group who did it, who I don't know very well, but in my experience, they have violated copyrights. They have really sloppy research. They say things that they know aren't true just to get attention. And it's all part of creating drama. The question is, are they professional? You know, are they teamed up with the intelligence agencies? Maybe, I don't know. But it's, you know, either way, it's a mess. And it's amazing. One of the best speeches I ever saw from an entrepreneur was at the Young Presidents Organization, and a young, very successful CEO who started his own company got up and made a speech and went through all of the management research and documentation, sort of peer-reviewed studies on when you're running a business, should you pay attention to your trouble employees or your high-performance employees? And what the research was most compelling about was the more attention you gave your high performers, the greater productivity you got. And so the message was, pay no attention to the slugs. Put them in a corner and ignore them because they will just harvest and waste your time. And that's what I've been really shocked this week by, how many of you will allow your time to be wasted by slugs and engaging in slugs and sort of talking, you know, oh, you know, the slug said this about you, you've got to go prove this or that or this or that. I understand why disinfo people do what they do. I understand why they violate copyright. I understand why they do sloppy research. I understand why they lie, all those things to get attention. What I don't understand is why would anyone in this subscriber base pay any attention to it whatsoever? Your time is so precious. And if you look at what's coming with the AI invasion, you don't have time. You do not have time for people who have no integrity. So promise me that you, whether it's the hope porn or the fear porn or the disinfo guys, you know, they're all mixed up together because they're all trying to keep you from a clear picture of reality. So I don't know. They just, it's amazing how when all your sources of information are high integrity, how much better you can do. I spoke with Joseph about this some on the part one, so you'll hear a little bit more about it. One of the issues was that the disinfo folks that I'm talking about, or one of them, is pushing this line that the senior executive service of the United States government is totally corrupt and needs to be, you know, I don't know what they're proposing, but basically it's an attack on the SES system. Let me talk about what's important, because the SES and the executive leadership in the government is the class of people who stand between us and radical and highly dangerous prioritization. So if you don't have senior government employees, people like Bill Binney and his team running a government agency, then what you get is you get private corporations and banks. Now, I have to tell you, I would much prefer the Bill Binneys of this world running things than private banks or corporations. one of the biggest problems we have in the federal government is we've outsourced way too much. To run the government properly, you need to massively insource. I can't tell you how important it is that we insource, particularly all the financial infrastructure. So I put up a list at subscriber input of really, if you were going to do federal government reform, what's important? So here's what's important. And if you look at and compare this list to sort of some of the disinfo trolls, you'll see it's gutting the SES ain't on the list. So the first thing you need to do is identify and recoup $21 trillion missing money and institute monthly and quarterly and annual financial reporting for congressional districts and states and make all the contract budgets public. So you need every citizen and particularly the small business and political leadership in every county having access to regular reports on where the money's going and what's happening with the money. And they need to see it by place so that they can start to re-engineer and optimize it by place. Second, you need to aggressively enforce against the people and institutions who are responsible for illegal transfers of the $21 trillion. And the reality is the way you're going to get it back is you're going to assert jurisdiction over their assets or the assets created with that money. The third thing is you want to significantly reduce the power and use of government contractors and private banks, again, insource. And so it's very important that you have an excellent SES and civil service system because that's what makes it possible to do. Then you want to enforce against the public and private parties and intelligence agencies that use entrapment and covert means to compromise government officials and employees, including the SES. If anything, you need serious training and support to protect government employees from compromise and covert action. If you look at the effort to use entrainment and pornography to entrap lots of government employees and civil service, it's really frightening. And government employees should be educated, briefed, trained, and protected. And the people who do it should be gone after. If you talk about vicious enforcement, this is a place where vicious enforcement could happen. The intimidation, the blackmail, the threatening, the scaring, the harm done to government officials and employees over the last three decades is absolutely inexcusable. And that's a group of people that needs to be enforced and put back. You know, talk about putting a group of people in prison. That's who I'd put in prison. Then you need to enforce against all government employees for leaking or other violations of the law. There has to be a standard of excellence. Private government employees need to be able to make government decisions without threat and surveillance, but they also need to respect the privacy and decision-making process. And so no more leaking or trading data for favors or jobs or any of this other stuff. Seven, we need to review the SES positions. If we have seen a lot of people fired and people put in for political reasons and not meritorious, we need to continuously upgrade. So we need to make sure those positions are filled with the very best and brightest. And with that, I would strongly recommend a new recruiting effort ongoing to attract the best and brightest young people into government employee and the SES positions. Again, part of sort of insourcing everything back. Now, Trump wants to take it the opposite way, and I assure you a lot of that is going to be very dangerous, and you have a lot of big publicly traded stocks licking, companies with big publicly traded stock licking their chops. That might have been one of the reasons around the Space Force, more licking of the chops. But you know something? We've had too much of a field day of government money being allocated for political reasons as opposed to performance reasons, and that needs to happen. Then we need to stop paying and encouraging disinformation trolls who keep people from understanding what the real problems are. What you're talking about is disinfo trolls that are basically helping the prioritization push, all under the guise of, you know, reform and corruption and draining the swamp. It's not draining the swamp. It's, you know, making way for the swamp. And then we need to publish pro forma federal place-based and full economy impact of all legislation 2 weeks before it can pass by law, so we can see, you know, who's making money and who's making losing money on these things. One of my favorite expressions from working in the government is, in the destruction of the old, let there be the creation of the new. One of the things we need to do is offer pathways for the bad guys to become good guys. If you look at our economy and the red button problem, to a certain extent, it's a very high percentage of people who become bad guys. So if you look at the truth and reconciliation process, which worked for a time in South Africa, we need a process like that. We need to give the, it's a little bit like a campaign. You want to give the bad guys a pathway to come clean and turn to, you know, turn into a model that, that aligns the health of humans with the health of the financial markets. And again, part of that is we need to recapture the assets and use it to make sure that we can keep our obligations as a society, whether it's the pension funds, Social Security, healthcare. We need those resources. And it's funny, one of the real disinformation trolls came out and said, oh, well, Trump has gotten $16 trillion of the missing money back, and he's going to bring it back in, and he's going to use it to hire us all. Well, when you steal my money and then bring it back and hire me with it, that's called slavery. Excuse me. So when we recoup assets, we need to return the assets to people's balance sheet. We don't need to require them to work and pay taxes all over it again to get their own money. Again, that's slavery. No, 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 no. Anyway, the other thing, the worst idea I heard all week was not that Catherine hadn't been Assistant Secretary of Housing, she had, or not that Trump had gotten the $16 trillion and was going to use it to hire us all in a slavery model. The worst idea I heard was that people really believe they can run away or hide from the tsunamis happening. If I just behave, if I'm just really good, and I don't give anybody any trouble, then I'll be okay. And what everybody needs to understand is the middle of the road is gone. There are now 325 million people who are targeted in America. The AI invasion is, you know, is sweeping, is going to sweep through, if it it's not already, it's going to sweep through your revenues, it's going to sweep through expenses. I got permission from an ally to tell you this story. I know of one person who just got an audit of their taxes 5 years ago, a huge penalty for supposedly filing the taxes late. As far as they know, they filed them on time. This was a tax return where they owed $0 in taxes, but the IRS is saying they filed late. Now, here's the catch. Their CPA is retired with Alzheimer's. So the CPA will not be able to remember. They're not available, and their memory is not available. Now, what do you think the chances are that somebody is going through with an algorithm looking for every retired CPA or CPA with Alzheimer's and playing this game? You know, don't think they won't. So this is everybody, because it's a Sheriff of Nottingham game, and if you can create white-collar speed traps all over the economy, then, you know, you can make a lot of money. The Sheriff of Nottingham can make a lot of money on penalties and civil money penalties. So let me just skip ahead for a second and read a question I got, or a comment I got last week in Ask Catherine, but I wanted to read it again because I think it's so appropriate. This is from an attorney out west. Dear Catherine, I've noticed a theme in listening to a couple of your interviews where you talk about an infrastructure being put in place before something happens, i.e. shopping malls at airports, and your Sheriff of Nottingham example. Over the past several years, local, municipal, and county courts in Washington and other states have been switching to online filings and total electronic filing systems. It is great because it is so convenient. You don't have to go to the courthouse to file. This has also allowed the federal government to have real-time knowledge of minor crimes and changes in local municipal courts. I've had colleagues finalize cases for their clients, undocumented immigrants, to have ICE waiting for them in unmarked vans outside of the city courthouse. Without a word, the ICE agents take them away. They have real-time tracking of the local municipal court system. Here's my concern. This system will get turned on the rest of the population. It's only a matter of time. There are books about the federal law being to the point where the average person is committing three felonies a day. Washington's Department of Licensing has created a labyrinth of administrative rules and procedures that all amount to misdemeanors and gross misdemeanors if not followed. What if someone pays off a fine for you? Do you ever pay tax on that? What if the penalties are forgiven, taxable events? Will you be able to go through an airport because Homeland Security has deemed people with unpaid tickets a threat? China has already started a program where people with debt problems are banned from travel. Already in the United States, the IRS can have your passport revoked if you owe taxes. There is no guarantee that you will get it back timely once the taxes are paid. That will hamstring the Bitcoin investors who are dinged with gotcha taxable events. Let me just break a note. Our special report on tax treatment of cryptocurrencies is up on the homepage under special reports. It's up on the right. Some folks have been asking for it this week. Finally, the federal government has announced that if you have a prescription for medical marijuana, you cannot buy a firearm. Marijuana is a class one controlled substance. This begs the question, what happens when you go into your doctor's office and is placed into your electronic medical record that you suffer from depression and are on certain medications that may be associated with violent behavior? I write this in the hope that maybe someone has an idea of how to push back against this Orwellian centralization of information and government power. Thanks for all you do. Well, you betcha there are many ways to push back. But one way to push back is when it happens to you, and it's going to happen to almost every one of us if it hasn't happened already. Certainly, there is not anyone listening to this that is not being eaten up with shadow work. So it's certainly creating shadow work for everybody. But the speeding and the parking tickets are coming. As I said, our whole economy is being turned into a white-collar speed trap. So don't think that there's a way to stay in the middle of the road. The AI invasion, when it comes, you need to fight and fight hard. And there are many tricks of the trade. We talk about some of them with Joseph. I'm going to be talking with him more on the Solari Report. There are many tricks of the trade that you can have to play to win in this. But one of the things you need is to not be afraid of it because it's coming. And so shift into play mode and play to win. Our hero this week is Jaron Lanier, who, and this is a suggestion, or I got a heads up that he had done this. He's essentially the founding father of virtual reality. He's come out with a new book saying, delete your social media accounts. I'm trying to get a hold of the copy, or I've ordered a copy of the book. I don't have it yet, but I've listened to a couple of his interviews, and I agree with everything he says. Now, I do have a Twitter account, but I think this stuff is really dangerous, and it's not. We either need to use it very judiciously and modestly or get rid of it. I think the world will be much better off if we all ditched social media. And I happen to think the entrainment and other technologies being married with it are very, very dangerous. So bravo to Mr. Lanier for some great advice. Let's go to the movies. I wanted you to watch Elon Musk's recent comments in the first quarter on artificial intelligence. The point he makes that is, I think, so important for all of us to realize is it's moving much faster than you think. Now, I think it's been around a lot longer than has been really communicated, but this stuff is moving very fast, and it's going to have a major impact on all of our lives and businesses and every aspect of our life. So this is a time to pay attention. This is a very important topic, and Musk has some very astute comments on it. Very much worth watching. Our interview this evening is part one of the two-part news trends and stories we do with each quarterly and annual wrap-up. And of course, I drive a long distance to get Dr. Joseph Farrell in a room with me. And this is our opportunity to really chew through all the different stories and what's been happening over the last quarter and digest it down to what we think is very important for you to know about. And it's always a wonderful experience for me. I was really revved up this time and talked more in the economy and financial market section. Joseph will get to talk a lot more in culture, et cetera. The number one story is the AI invasion. As I said, white collar speed traps all over the economy. We're publishing this early because I wanted to get it to you early. Normally, Joseph and I don't record until after the quarter is over, but I felt we needed to talk about this as soon as possible and continue to talk about it throughout the next quarter. Now, if you're new to the Solari Report, it's important you know that every wrap-up is built through a web presentation. So our new presentation can be linked from the commentary. So go to the Solari Report, go to the commentary about this week's wrap-up, and there'll be a link in the subscriber links to the web presentation at asianconsumer.solari.com. If you go in through the link, then you won't need a password. You just go straight in. Click on, in the navigation bar in the news, trends, and stories, and you'll see an entire set of presentations. We have six sections. One is trends we track, and that will show you all the trends we're tracking at the Solari Report. Then part one is the top 10 stories. I snuck in an extra one, so it's really 11. And then the report card. We do a report card on the Trump administration. Then the top news videos for the quarter. And then part two, top 10 stories. And the list of stories comes with a lot of the different picks that we've put up during the quarter, those links and stories that sort of support what we're talking about for that top story. And then we have a section called Unanswered Questions, or Go Local, Unanswered Questions and Inspiration, which adds and supplements to it. And there we get into some of the solutions and some of the positive things going on. So make sure as you're listening that you click around the web presentation for news, trends, and stories. As you can see, there's another group of, we have a section for the rise of the Asian consumer, a section for financial markets. When the, on the last close of the month, we'll fill out the charts and financial markets. Rambus Chartology will fill in when we publish the equity overview. The rise of the Asian consumer, that section will be published in the last week of July. So this will fill out all during the month of July, and then when it's final, we'll convert it into a PDF and a hard copy. And those of you who are premium subscribers will automatically get the hard copy mailed to you when it's published. So, in fact, if you're a premium subscriber, you've just been receiving the new space one. Those mailed out this week. You should have them next week. So they should really roll out over the next 3 to 6 days. You should get an email informing you that it's on your way. If for any reason you don't receive it, please let us know. And of course, you can always go to the store if you're not a premium subscriber, but you want to buy that one. You can buy them one at a time as well. Anyway, so keep an eye on that web presentation because there'll be a lot of rich information that supports the conversations that we have as we roll out the second quarter wrap-up throughout the month. And I just want to give a big tip of the hat to Brad Edens, our news, trends, and story editor. He's done an amazing job of aggregating the stories throughout the quarter and then helping us figure out and digest what's really important and convert it into this web presentation. This is all of his work, and he does an absolutely fantastic job. So the conversation with Joseph, as I said, works through the first 11 stories, and the one I really want you to hear is the AI invasion, but they're all important. Story number two, interest rates rise. Story number three, building fortress America. Story number four, the U.S. dollar index holds the 92 line. Number five, planet equity is strong as ever. Story number six, tearing up net neutrality and the AI invasion. Again, the sort of merging of the telecommunications company with big media and letting them basically, giving them permission to block, slow down, and manipulate their competitors in the media game is, I mean, it's unbelievable. especially when you look at the extent to which the taxpayers have funded this whole infrastructure. Story number 7, trade wars. Story number 8, Italy, Brexit, and the EU puzzle. Story number 9, the U.S. elections and swamp drama. Number 10, the pension fund crisis. And 11, Asian hotspots, the South China Sea, and the Silk Road. Anyway, very long, juicy conversation. We've broken it up into chapters so that you don't have to listen to the whole thing. So you can download the whole thing and listen. Some people like to do that because they're listening in the car, or you can just hit the chapters. So News, Trends, and Stories, Part 1 this week, and next week, Part 2. Ask Catherine. Hi, Catherine and Solari team. And then this person sends me the article about Lanier warning about social media. I really appreciate your sending it to us. And, of course, that got him made Hero of the Week. Hi, Solari team and Catherine. If you have a place for actions or have an interest yourself in taking action through the Center for Food Safety, here are two links. Andrew Kimball was interviewed on Ralph Nader Radio discussing these issues and some successes in litigation by the center. The USDA is at it again with half-baked labeling proposal. The action suggested has a deadline of July 3rd to ask the USDA for real GMO labeling. This outlines big problems with the Farm Bill favoring the corporations harming the small farmers. Great links, and I had them posted. The Farm Bill sounds, you know, like what you're seeing in all sectors, and that is the concentration is moving aggressively across all the sectors. Okay, can you comment on the implications of the Time Warner merger with AT&T and Comcast's last-minute bid to stop Disney from buying Fox? Seems communication mind control mergers are entering the world to fill the tummies of telcos who must satiate the data beast. What we're watching is the merger of internet, telecommunications, and content. It's a for-profit control model. And what you're doing by repealing the rules related to net neutrality is you're basically saying that the biggest content providers in the world can now control distribution, and that distribution line can discriminate against competitors. And given how consolidated the market is really into a series of sort of oligopolies, the notion that somehow the market is going to spontaneously respond and solve all of this is absurd. Now, interestingly enough, despite all that good news, AT&T stock is now reaching new lows when the market, it's significantly underperforming the market, including from the time these things were announced. So makes you wonder what the market knows. You know, if hatred literally forced Monsanto into the arms of Bayer, I'm afraid. It's funny, I went to a website today. I was just looking for some information on AT&T. I went to a website that allowed comments, and there were, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 comments, and every one of them was screaming about how horrible AT&T was and all the different games they played to not let them transfer their account and other shenanigans. And I thought, you know, it really is a, in the model, it's kind of scary. Okay, so then someone sent a link, which I won't talk about because it has to do with sort of the politics back and forth between the U.S. and China, but we posted. I'm not a stalker, not a weirdo. Well, maybe a little weird in a good way. If I sent a thank you to you every time I benefited from my time with you and Solari, you would think I'm an absolute nut job. I'm deeply moved, so tears of joy at times when I finally sense your subtle messages and teachings, sometimes years later. The most recent tearing came with a combination of seeing Steiner presented at Solari over the years and the work of Dark Journalist in his X series and its links to Rosicrucianism and theosophy. I wouldn't and didn't understand your message then like I understand it now. In understanding Daniel's work, I grow more connected to your message of spirituality, a message I've not entirely understood. Of all the empowering information I've learned from Solari, there has been nothing more powerful than understanding the spiritual battle. I've never felt so empowered. How you guys do it, I'm not sure. I wonder if your plans are as deep and long-term as the bad guys when I sense these synergies between JPF, CAF, and others. Very, very cool. I want to understand and help the 100-year opportunity Steiner spoke of. What did he mean? How can we help? Well, here's how you can help. You can help by really coming to a real true sense of your own purpose. It's there. You just have to find it. You just have to feel it. That's something that really comes forth through prayer. And you have to ask. Just ask. There's a very funny story about one of the subscribers at Uluru who, said he wasn't sure what his purpose was. And I said, well, have you asked? So he did, and he got an answer. Anyway, you never know. Side note, I grew up Lutheran in X and recall not a word of Rosicrucianism ever or theosophy. I live near Beverly Hall, was completely unaware of its existence. Since the X series, I've been on a campaign to find someone local, the older the better, that is familiar with these local groups. I've spoken with people from 15 to 90 and have found no one with any memory of these groups. I visited Beverly Hall and spoke to many neighbors who had no idea what the place was. Said things about it like weird pyramid religious stuff is down the road on the right. You can't miss it. These connections have clearly been hidden. Thank you again and again and again. Thank you. The Soleri team and I are working for the, love working for the Soleri subscribers. I have to tell you, it's a great job. You have no idea what a wonderful group of people you are. Okay, that's it for today. We have a great lineup. As I said, part two of News, Trends, and Stories next week on June 28th. On July 5th, Harry comes back with the food series Hog Heaven with Bill Nyman, our next in a series of interviews that Harry is doing with Bill, really the top rancher in terms of creating really high-quality meat. July 12th, we have the second quarter wrap-up equity overview. I'll go through the financial charts in the markets. Then July 19th, Ulrich Onnecker is back with Future Science. This time it's the Wave Genome. And then on July 26th, when I'm in the Netherlands, I'll be presenting the second quarter wrap-up major theme, the rise of the Asian consumer. We have a special Soleri report coming from Rob Kirby on the missing money. And then in August, probably August 2nd, a great interview with Daniel Post-Senning of the Emily Post Institute on manners. It seemed to catch everybody's ear last week when I said it. You have no idea. One of the things I learned as an investment advisor working with many, many families over many, many years is there are tremendous, tremendous benefits to your health and your pocketbook of marrying somebody who's kind. And then, of course, I'm leaving for Europe soon, and I hope for good sleuthing on the evolution of Europe and the EU. A lot is happening, but I find I get a much better, deeper sense of what that is, particularly the immigration story and the changes coming to the European Union if I'm on the ground in Europe, so more when I'm there. So, ladies and gentlemen, until next week, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Good night and good luck.